Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. I think that the contemporary wisdom is that people who come to parenting classes are usually the ones who need them least. So, Mrs. Balgan is always a hard act to follow. She's amazing. And I was thinking about the fact that, she was talking about tefillah, and it's important to keep in mind in our parenting that at the end of the day, just like everything else that we do, parenting is hishtadlus. We try. We put in our efforts. We work the fields. We plant. We water. And then we hope for the best. So some people take parenting as it's a burden. It's something that, we have to do, and it's for our children, who we love more than we love ourselves. And we have sometimes this like overwhelming pressure, like we have to get it right for our kids' sake. And while it's true that we have a responsibility to do as much as we can, at the end of the day, we have to remember, it's ishtadlus. We do our part, and Hashem does the rest. And our children have their own choice, they have their own choices to make, they have their own bechira, they have their own path in life, and it's cliche, but it's true. We could only do our part, and we daven. And davening sometimes is the best form of ishtadlus. The best ishtadlus is to daven. So, on that note, I'll daven that hopefully we can all benefit from this class. I specifically would want to have in mind a friend who is undergoing a procedure today. I think that the learning in KES is being dedicated for Fua Shlema this morning for Avram Aryeh Ben Perel, another fellow mechanech, and he's undergoing a procedure today. Hopefully the zechus of the class and what's gained from it should be for a zechus for him. So the topic this morning is respect, and I think it was basically right. Respectful children in today's day and age, is it possible? So the answer is no. Okay. No, I'm kidding. The answer is that it is extremely challenging in today's day and age. Anybody who doesn't know that probably hasn't been a parent. But if we're all parents, we all know that. And we know that Chazal say, the Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, Be'ikvasa de Mashiacha, Chutzpa Yasti. In the times of Mashiach, we're getting close. I think in the 1930s already, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman wrote a sefer, little pamphlet, about called Ikvasa de Mashiacha. So many indications. We're coming close to the times of Mashiach. And the Gemara says, Ikvasa de Mashiacha, chutzpah yaski. People are going to be, there's going to be a lot of chutzpah out there. A lot of chutzpah out there in the days and years leading up to Mashiach. So we know that it's par for the course. Now, if we look around societally, it's not hard to understand. It's not hard to see that this is very much the case. We are facing an uphill battle. I think that by and large in society, you'll see that people give lip service to the fact that you need to be respectful. I'm talking about the secular world at large. You'll definitely see that and you'll hear that. But at the same time, you'll also see clear indications in society at large that disrespect is actually glorified. I'll go to sports for a moment. I don't follow professional sports anymore. I used to. But it's so clear. It's no longer enough to have, to make the good play if you're a professional player. After you succeed in whatever it is that you were just trying to do, scoring the goal, dunking the basket, making the touchdown, you now have to do a little jig in the face of the person who you just did that in front of. Because you have to show them how great you are, and you have to make them feel dumb for not being able to stop you. This is par for the course. Now, not every player does it, but there's actually, I think, fines now in professional sports for degrading other players. If there's a fine, it's because it's become pretty rampant. So there's this idea of just like, I have to shove it in your face. How great I am, and you know, it's a glorification of disrespect. If you go back, not that long ago, from a historical standpoint, I believe I heard that this was the case straight through, I think, the middle of the 20th century. It was standard procedure in a hospital. If a doctor would walk into a room, the nurse would stand up out of respect for the doctor. It's a pretty foreign concept nowadays. Pretty foreign concept. This isn't Torah, this isn't halacha, just straight up courtesy for the knowledge and background of the doctor. Show respect for the doctor, for his expertise, for his schooling. Totally gone. We don't have an iota of that type of an attitude left. And I think it's you know, partially, you know, we could blame everything on the internet, right? So, but I think that there is what to be said for that. Because if you think about it, there used to be something to be said for experts in their field. Nowadays, what expert? This is what you're telling me, right? Any doctor, any opinion on anything. You want to get your second opinion, you Google it. What does Google have to say? So the doctor said this. Well, so within 3 minutes, I could tell you all the holes in what it is that you just told me. I could find out what the alternative opinions are and, you know, do research, statistics, and I could come back to you. So you're the big expert? I can sit there easily poking holes in everything you just told me. So there's total disregard for expertise. Unfortunately, it could and often does carry over into knowledge of, you know, Torah as well, because there's experts in Torah too. And there's your experts and there's my experts. And then if I don't like what any expert says, so then I'll go find my own opinion. I'll ask Google. And then I'll become an expert. And my expert comes from 3 minutes of, you know, putting in a question. But again, it lends to this feeling of like, I got this, and I don't need you, and I could totally disrespect, whatever the other opinions are. I don't think we need to be convinced that it's a problem. I don't think we need to be convinced why it's a problem. I just wanted to sort of create a little bit of a backdrop for, you know, the fact that the attitude is so there and so part and parcel of our society today. Now the question, the real question, is what can we do about it? So I would divide it up, and I'm going to spend about 90% of the time on half of this, but I would divide it up. There's always any aspect of our parenting, so there's the sur meira and the aseh tov, right? So we want to work on stopping to do the bad and strengthening the positive. So the sur meira would be to try to stop our children from being disrespectful. The aseh tov would be to try to proactively, positively influence them to be more respectful. Right? There's stopping them from being disrespectful, there's promoting them to be more respectful. So anybody who's been to other classes that I've given knows that in you know, my usual approach, and I've heard this from many, many Rabbanim, Gedolim, parenting experts, the number one rule when it comes to our parenting is the personal example that we establish, that we set for our children. So that's in terms of the aseh tov, and that's where we're going to spend the vast majority of our time. What can we do in our own behavior, in our own role modeling, that's going to help our children pick up that attitude and behavior of being more respectful? We'll talk a little bit. We'll try to see what we could do about, you know, damage control, if and when they are acting, you know, disrespectful. But let's try to focus on what we can do, because ultimately, you know, there's the famous, you know, Volbi, which was, you know, he was one of the Gedolei Musar from a previous generation, and this whole approach was made much more famous by Rabbi Lawrence Kalman, the Kindle of Soul, planting and building. But planting and building basically is the general, you know, approach to our children. There's certain things that we do. We build walls in place to make sure that they're not going to break through. There's certain things that are put in place, but we also need to water. We water, and we try to imbibe, as you know, to give over as much as we can, and hopefully, you know, Hashem takes care of the rest. But in terms of just, you know, applying that to this specific topic, how do we act in a way that our children pick up on this idea of respect, being respectful, and act in a way which is so contrary to society at large? So at this point, presumably, we want our children to act with respect, so then we need to act with respect. But before we even talk about acting with respect to other people, I want to take it one step further. One step before that, let's forget how we act to other people. Let's talk about how we act to ourselves, how we act within ourselves. There is a fascinating Gemara in, just look up the source. Fascinating Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says the following. I'm not going to go through all the you know, wording and the back and forth, but basically the Gemara records what happened after Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, and he was told that he was going to be punished, and you know. First, he was told that the land was going to grow thorns, and Adam HaRishon was crying, the land is going to grow thorns, because until then everything was just a perfect utopia, they were living in Gan Eden, and he said that he was told that the land is going to grow thorns, and then he started crying, and he said to Hashem, because he was told that you're going to eat from the land, and the land is going to grow thorns, and Adam HaRishon turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's crying, and he says to him, are me and my donkey going to eat from the same trough? And Niva Chamori Nochal Be'evos Echad? Because so Hashem said back to him, B'zeh Asapecha Tochal Lechem. With the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat bread. So at that point, the Gemara says, Niskara Daita, Adam HaRishon, even though that technically was the curse, B'zeh Asapecha Tochal Lechem, through the sweat of your brow, that's when you're going to, That's having to work for our food is something which is a curse, it's a punishment. But the Gemara says that's actually when Adam HaRishon was calmed down a little bit. So there are those who wonder, like, what's going on here? What's the back and forth between Hashem and Adam HaRishon? It seems like Adam HaRishon is told initially that you're going to eat from the grass of the earth, you're going to eat from the thorns and the thistles. And at that point, Adam HaRishon is so disappointed. He's not disappointed because of the hard work that he's going to be put in. That hasn't happened yet. That's when he starts feeling better. So what was he so upset about? He's upset, me and my donkey are going to eat from the same trough. We're all going to eat from the grass of the land. Now, In response to that, Hashem says, no, you're not both going to eat from the grass of the land. You're going to have to work the land, and you're going to eat bread. You can't just eat the grass like the animals do. You're going to have to work very hard. And then the Adam HaRishon says, okay. The question is, wait a second. People spend months, years of their lives working to make money. Wouldn't it have been so convenient to be able to eat grass? You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. You go outside. The animals, they go. A cow has a nice, easy day. They wake up in the morning. They walk into the field. Take a little nibble. Hang out in the field. They go back. They go to sleep. There's a convenience of not having to work. Imagine life where we would not have to spend hours every single day doing work. But no, that is when other Marie Jeanne is upset. Me and my donkey were going to eat from the same trough. How could that be? So Hashem says back to him, no, it's not, you're not going to be the same. Don't worry. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to work for hours, investing time, effort. You're going to have to, you can't just eat from the, you're going to have to plant the wheat. It's going to, only certain things you're able to eat, most things you can't. And then those things, you're going to have to take it. You're going to have to harvest it and plant it and grind it. And then you got to make the dough, and then you got to make the braids, right? Before you can bake the challah. Only then will you be able to eat. But Adam Rishon is happy because now there's a very clear distinction between people and animals. And the answer is, yes, there would have been a huge convenience to be able to just go out and, you know, pick up a blade of grass and start nibbling on it and eating it. But that would have come at a huge cost. It would have come at a cost of people not appreciating the difference between them and their animals. Obviously, there's clear differences between people and animals. But on some level, that would have been compromised. It would have been eroded. And when people don't have that clear picture, we're different, we're people, we don't work the same way as animals do, we're supremely different, we're a different being, we're the purpose of creation, we're the pinnacle of creation. That Gadlus HaAdam, the greatness inherent in man, which is something which was only given to man, is something which would have been lost on some level. We need to be supremely aware of that difference and of the greatness that has been implanted within us. We are the pinnacle of creation. The Gadlus HaAdam, which is inherent inside us, is something we need to be attuned to always. There's many halachos about how a person needs to conduct themselves. There's a fascinating halacha about the fact that if a person eats in public, person eats in the marketplace, he's potentially pasul le'edus. He can't give testimony in court. Chazal explained, person just eats in public, so then they don't have that sensitivity, that feeling of, I'm a human being. I have to conduct myself in a certain way. There's a level of dignity that we're expected to conduct ourselves with, which is crucial for us to be able to be trusted. For a person to have that trust, to be trusted as a witness in court, we need to know that you have a certain level of dignity. You're not just gonna lie in public. You're not gonna lie in public, you're not gonna eat in public. You have to have a certain level of derech eretz and dignity with which you conduct yourself. So before we even talk about the attitude that we behave towards others with, we have to talk about the certain feeling that we need to have. There's a certain dignity that people are expected to have. And it's self-respect is so important. And when children see that attitude, then it makes a huge impact. It makes a huge impact on them. People who have self-respect, they act in a more refined way. Clear in how they speak, and how they dress, and how they interact with everyone around them. And when you're around someone who's dignified, and when our children are around us, and we act in a more dignified way, they pick it up. I recently heard a story when there was Shiva Zichrono Livracha. He was a great man, and he was often not so well physically. And he had a certain doctor that he had to go to, an internist, who he used to go to on a regular basis, I don't know, once a month, once every couple of months. And every time he would go to this doctor's office, the doctor happened to have been a religious person, but most of the people in the office were not. The people in the office did not know that this was one of the gedolim in America. They knew he was a friendly old man who used to come. He was one of the regulars. He would come again once a month, once every 2 months. Every time he went in, he went over to the receptionist and he would ask her how she was and how has her day been. And he was polite and he was so thankful. They had no idea who this kind old man was. The secretary of the yeshiva, well, one of the young men in yeshiva, once went over to the doctor and he said to him, you know, the people in your office, I don't know where you got this office staff from. They're so nice. It's unbelievable. Every time we come, they're so nice and friendly. The doctor said to the secretary of the yeshiva, they're not always like that. They're like that on the day that the yeshiva comes. They look forward to this day. The whole day is defined by the fact that they have this, what they saw as a cute little old man coming. They didn't know, they didn't recognize the fact that he was a Gadol b'Yisrael. But they knew that this is a person who's so dignified, who made them feel so good. He made them feel uncomfortable to do certain things because they just recognized that they were in the presence of greatness, of dignity. This is how you act when you're in the presence of someone like that. It's not haughtiness. Self-respect and dignity it doesn't mean that we're full of ourselves, and it doesn't mean that we turn to our children when they're disrespectful and say, how dare you speak to me that way? It's not demanding the respect, but it's an understanding that it's there. Whatever we have, we know we have from Hashem. It's because Hashem, you know, placed that within us. But that's the first step in terms of, you know, acting in a way that our children are going to pick up this attitude of respect. Obviously, we have to have the respect in our own interactions with others. Our kids are sponges, and they are video cameras on us, on record, always. So everything that they see, every way in which we act, they pick it up. We don't have to worry about never making mistakes, by the way. We're broadcasting a lot, a whole lot, always. So if we make an occasional mistake, that's okay. We don't have to be perfect, and again, like we said, they have their own choices in life that they're making. But they do pick up everything. Now, people disagree with each other. Often. Always. What's the line? There's Kishim Shein Partufein Domen Zelezek Achdein Daiten Domen Zelezek. Just like people's faces are not the same, people's opinions are not the same. And that's okay. It's okay not to have the same opinion as others. But there's a way to disagree with somebody. Now sometimes it's, you know, an attitude there's a big difference. This is I think an important line. There's a big difference between not holding like someone and not holding of someone. I think this is more yeshivish talk. But you know, not holding like someone means I don't agree with you. Not holding of someone means I don't think anything of you. You are, you know. So we have to make sure that when we are portraying our own opinions to our children, and they need to know our opinions, and we need to be mechanech them. And we can't just give them this impression that everything is good and everyone is okay, and everything is not necessarily good. And there are right and right. There's the right way to behave and the wrong way to behave. And sometimes they see things that are improper. They see people doing things that are not okay, and they come to us, and we have to have those discussions. But there's a difference between disagreeing with the way someone is acting, disagreeing with someone's opinion, versus as a result of that, totally disrespecting them and shrugging them off and saying, you guys are, you know, we just don't care about you. Now, it's clear that's how we have to act towards peers, towards people who are greater than us. Obviously, you know, we don't all have the ability to role model proper kibud of the aim to our own children. If our parents happen to be around, they live in town, they're, you know, visiting, we have that example, we have that way, we can show our children how we act towards our parents. Now, it's funny, people don't know this, many people don't know this, there's a halacha. You stand up when your parents walk into the room. It doesn't matter what age they are, and it doesn't matter what age you are. So if as adults we're sitting in a room, and our parents walk into the room, we stand up. Now, they'll often say, they might feel uncomfortable, they might feel awkward, they might say, don't do that. So if they don't want you to do that, you definitely don't have to do that. But think about the impact that that makes on your child. If your child sees you have that attitude, you're an adult, and you stand up when your parent walks in, that role models something extremely powerful to your child. And if they see the opposite, the person not having so much respect for their own parents as an adult, that also, you know, sends that message. So clearly, in terms of how we interact with our peers, in terms of how we interact with our own, oh wow, in terms of how we interact with our elders, we have to keep this in mind. It is also important, though, to keep this in mind in our interaction with our children, because we do need to be respectful to them. And this a little bit gets into the, you know, the Sur Meira that we said we're going to spend a little bit of time on. But if our children are acting disrespectful to us, or they're not listening, that's also, they're watching us. They're watching how we interact with them. Just because they need to be redirected, and they need to be consequenced sometimes, because that's not okay, and they need to learn. There needs to be accountability. They need to learn that that's not going to be okay. But we never want to do it in a way that's going to compromise on their dignity. We really try to do this within the framework of our classrooms as well. We try. It could be very challenging, especially when it's a 1-on-20. Hopefully we don't have that ratio at home. But a child sometimes needs to be called out on the fact that that's not okay. It's not okay to act that way. But you never want to lace into a child and compromise on their dignity. You want to show them that there's a certain level of respect that you're going to accord them, regardless of how they just acted. And again, they're not going to have the verbiage, and they're not going to be able to show you how much of an impact that makes on them, but they're picking it up. They're picking it up. And, you know, they might never give you the satisfaction of knowing how much of an impression that made on them, but they're picking it up, and it makes that impression. They will be getting, you know, better, and eventually that in and of itself, these attitudes that they see, how we interact with others, how we interact with them, makes a huge, huge impact on the overall level of respect that they interact with. So, yes, we have a society at large. There's, the stakes are stacked against us in terms of so much of what they're seeing. But at the end of the day, they respect us whether they tell us or not. And even if they tell us that they don't, and even if they're showing us in their behavior that they don't, they do respect us. I'm not talking about teenagers. I don't know. They're a separate category. But within, at least, you know, children when they're younger, they very much respect us. And they pick up so much from our attitude and from the way that we behave. And that makes the biggest impact. I'll end off with one cute story, because I saw it recently, and I thought it was such a beautiful story of someone acting with respect to a total stranger, just for the sake of going out of his way to maintain on another person's dignity. I read this story about Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, the biggest gedolim in America today. He was once going to a dinner being held in a prestigious hotel, and at the front desk he's walking in, and there was two women who were sitting there. They were harried, they were like running, there's so many people coming over to them, and one of the women was sitting at the desk trying to do a million things at once, and she didn't recognize Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. And Rav Shmuel walks in, and as he like walks towards her, she like barely looks up at him, and she says, "Name." It's not the most respectful way to speak to one of the Gedolei Hador. And Rav Shmuel realized immediately she, you know, didn't recognize him. So he said, "Kamenetsky." So she's looking through her list, you know, of the people who made reservations at the dinner. And she says to him, we have a bunch of Kamenetskis. What's your first name? Now, at this point, Rav Shmuel realizes he's got a growing challenge. Because if the lady realizes who she's talking to, she's gonna feel so stupid. But he wanted to try to compromise on her dignity. So on a dime, he says to her, Sammy. So she's looking through the list and she says to him, I don't see any Sammys. I have a Shmuel. So he says to her, They must have used my Hebrew name. That's me. I'll take the card. And he quickly took the card and walked away before she realized what it was that happened. The other woman, halfway through the conversation, realized what was going on, and she was like sitting there like, but she saw how out of his way Rav Shmuel went to try to compromise on this other woman's dignity. So again, Bezrus Hashem, we will do whatever we can to maintain our own dignity, that of those around us, that of our children, and Bezrus Hashem, we will have Siyata Dishmaya. Thank you so much for coming.